one working? Be sure it's working properly. Okay.
How is Mordechai doing? How is the press? Are you in touch with him? All right. Where do we stand? Avi, you're going to sit there? Okay. My dear friends, students in front of me, and all those listening across the wide expanse of the Torah world, today is Sunday, June 1st, 2014. It's the last year for the year. Once again, I apologize. The Pope knocked me out. Sunday was a technical knockout. Monday was a real knockout. And those shiurim I pick up next year in both classes exactly where I left off. So that nothing is missing, just the Eibishter should give strength and a little health, and Be'ezrat Hashem Chodesh Elul will pick up exactly where we left off. Just to fill in some details that have come in from around the world, when I spoke about, if you recall, in the Sunday class with the Briska Chumras, Tzeisach HaChavim, and V'ilayim Haltman Shabbos, so I said in Hebrew, their machmir, it's called the Shminis. The Yiddish expression is an Achtel. If you recall, I stumbled for the Yiddish expression, and I said I know it in Hebrew. It's an Achtel. They add another eighth, which is correct, what I said in class. In regards to the Reb Menashe Klein, who took around two Mira students to see the waterline of Brooklyn regarding the Erev. So my Talmud, my viral Talmud, what's the word? Virtual Talmud, right? Virtual Talmud, Andrew Rosenberg, is going to try to locate those two individuals and see, remember the name? Schoen and Beck, and see if they actually remember what the Reb Menashe Katan is talking about. In relation to my Monday class, when I spoke about the Rav from Boston, that was the final shir, I believe, and Rav Michal Feinstein, I was correct. He went back to Europe to marry the Briska Rav's daughter, went back to Palestine to marry the Briska Rav's daughter, returned to America. He lived in Manhattan until the 50s. The legend in the yeshiva world is that the Briska Rav was none too happy about this. Now, and I believe that he taught for his uncle, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Tiferet Yerushalayim during that period. So, Baruch Hashem, my memory is fairly good and fairly correct. I also want to thank you very much for the beautiful affair Thursday night. I'm very moved, and I hope I'm worthy of all the covet, I don't know what word to use, all the reverence and affection that was extended to me. On a comparative level, I only want to tell you that what is between Gris here and YU in America? In America, the most important talk I gave to the most important talk was actually on a Wednesday, but this important talk to such a big crowd, and all the Gedolei Yisrael are there to cite me and laud me, the president of YU, the head of the OU, the dean of Brenner Graduate School. Vic was there, he can testify. And hundreds of people. The microphone was worthless, the recording licked in dread, you have to but you saw Thursday night? Beautiful microphone, perfect recording. Thank God, what a difference. And one of my children were very impressed by the cakes that were served. For once, they didn't complain that they had to honor their father. Okay, now I want to come down to business, and this is the final shiur. I'm out to save the world, to change the world, but I'm not that foolish when all is said and done. If I change just myself, I'll be very happy. This was a particularly difficult year. In 55 years of teaching, the frustration in Akmas Nefesh of this year is beyond words. And I said to many people privately, it's a miracle that anyone remains from today. What you were exposed to, what we were exposed to, scandal after scandal after scandal. Our world, the Tzioni Dati world, the Haredi world, money scandals, sex scandals, it's beyond comprehension. Worse than that, there was an election in Yerushalayim for mayor, for the city hall, council, whatever they want to call it. The rechilit, the lashon hara. I mean, I don't even want to repeat it, but when talking Gedolei Yisrael, I didn't believe half of it, but I have to tell you, I checked everything out. Everything was true. Students cried to me. I cried to myself. It's the antithesis of everything Torah stands for. And I want to devote myself to that problem. Sumerit the Gemara, it's a Bavli, and I'll show you the Yerushalmi. Yuma Daftet Amid Bet, famous Gemara, where the Gemara has a tremendous theological question. Beit Migdash Rishon, all of us know they worshipped idols. It's no great question why the Ribbono Shel Olam destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. But the second Beis HaMikdash, I now quote the Gemara, Migdash Sheni Shayoskin, the Torah, the Mitzvah, Gemilat Chasadim, Mipnei Mai Harav. Why was it destroyed? And here the Gemara gives the famous answer that you're all familiar with, anyone who grew up in the shadow of Merkaz HaRav. Mipnei shahayata bo sinat chinim. Lilamedcha sheshkula sinat chinim keneged shlosh aveirot aveidazara kilu arayat ushvichat damim. And the Gemara here gives an unbelievable answer that in the second base of Migdash, one Jew hated another Jew. Sinat chinim. And sinat chinim is worse than the three cardinal sins. Idol worship, sexual misbehavior, murder. Shvichat damim is worse. Sinat chinim is worse than all three put together. That's the Bavli. Yerushalmi adds something very interesting. Quoting from Yerushalmi, Yoma Perek Aleph, Halachar Aleph, that's the way we were taught to pronounce it, in the standard published edition of the Yerushalmi, the Ribbas edition, it's on page 8. And Yerushalmi asked the same question. By a Rishon, we know of the Avodah Zarah, Megalei Arayot, Shofchei Damim, but the second based on Mikdash, Zehigiyin B'Torah, Zehirin B'Mitzvah, V'Mashrat, V'Chol Veset Tova, Haitabahem. And look what the Yerushalmi is saying. They were Dadaik in Mitzvah. Every Jew, boy and girl, carry the kids of Shulchan Aruch with them. Medante. More than that, they were very careful, Maisarat. So you can interpret that to mean staka. They weren't cheap. They weren't, you know, you can have all the, those of you who are going into the rabbinate, you're going to find out the hardest part of the rabbinate is fundraising. Many a rabbi left the rabbinate because of fundraising. I don't have to tell you why you today fundraising. A guy named Rakefa got hysterical Sunday morning at YU at that public talk that it's tragic, a situation that YU is in, that such an important institution has to beg for money. And we have many, many multi-millionaires, even billionaires, who are Orthodox Jews. All right, Maisrat, they gave gladly, they gave with a smile, fine. And v'chol, look what else, v'chol veset tova. What does veset mean? So the mefarshim say, midot tovot, that they were just good people, caring people, decent people, upright people, midot tovot. So why was there a churban? So the second reason the Gemara gives is sinat chinam. But the first reason, shahayu ohavin et hamamon. They had a tremendous value in life. money, wealth. What does that mean? Money, wealth, tremendous value. That's more important than anything. I came to YU, and my first day in YU, I was overwhelmed. I mean, I didn't see Yeshiva University for 45 years now. I once or twice I gave a lecture, but it was chaplap. It was nothing big or public. But this time I came, a limousine waiting for me, a man holding a sign. Thank God, our dear friend Dr. Charles Hexter was with me. I can say, I don't believe what I'm saying, but Charlie will testify. So I had the shock of my life. We catch a 9 o'clock minyan. It's the 10th rainiest day in the history of New York. And they reach Hallel. Rabbi Willick says our minig is to say Hallel with musical instruments. And in Reuben Hall, third floor, I believe it was, here is Arnie Rothkopf in the place that nurtured him. A Talmud of the Rav, a Talmud of Reb Yeruchim Gerelik, a Talmud of Reb Noach Bornstein. And there they're saying Hallel with a guitar, with the Chatam Sofer staring at them from the bookcase. Musical instruments in a shul? Wow. But that shock wasn't so bad. What was much worse is I come back to my apartment, the presidential suite. Don't be overwhelmed by the title, but it was the apartment where I spoke with the Rav last time I saw him alive in 1983. In that very apartment, I popped some questions at the Rav sitting on the very couch, just where I'm sitting. I come back to the apartment and I notice outside hundreds and hundreds of Wall Street journals. And I asked, my high, hundreds of students, Yomo and his friends, all subscribe to the Wall Street Journal? They told me no. The Wall Street Journal subscribes to you. Chinam, Ein Kesef. Every day I had a free Wall Street Journal, and the whole world, one message, money. Ohev et hamamon. One basic, simple message. Even sports, right or wrong. Why do I want to read a paper for? I want to see how the Yankees are doing. Even sports, the prisma of money. Sterling, the comment, what went on, the fine, the sale, the analysis, that poor stupid Jew, what a moron, that in Israel, the black Jews, what, he's talking in our world, was he a Haredi in the Haredi world? Maybe there's some truth to what he's saying. In our world, can I hear, I already have a granddaughter-in-law that I believe her mother is Libyan. What do we have? Baruch Hashem, a kibbutz Goliath. I don't know what nusach I'll be saying kedusha at mincha when I go to the shtiblach. The chazan sets the track, it sets the tone. Whatever the chazan is, that's the kedusha I say. Ashreinu shezachinu lakach, that we have a kibbutz Goliath, and that Sterling guy's a moron in Israel too. Like what happens in Israel is the gold standard. They also look down upon the black. He's telling this Caribbean woman, it's beyond words. But the Wall Street Journal analyzes how much he paid for the team and how much he's going to sell it for. And if there ever was a kiyum of that Yerushalmi, believe it or not, I saw it in YU, in the morgue, in what's the other one called? Reuben Hall. Oh, first hall. It was the third floor and first hall. I'm getting confused because my times that this almost all didn't exist. In Reuben Hall, big piles, Wall Street Journal. Come, young man, and desecrate your values so the Yerushalmi of Yuma will be able to talk to you. Ah. How can we combat this? How can we get rid of the sinat chinam? Why do we have sinat chinam? How can from Jews have sinat chinam? How can a man say, I don't want to call him a rabbi, I don't want to dignify him. How can he say, if you wear a kippah shrugah, you're a mullah? And how can a politician who sat in jail for 4.5 years, I think he got out good behavior, 3 years and 6 months, and he makes him the head of the Moetzet Chachmei Torah of Shas? My dear students, there is no Moetzet, there is no Chachamim, and there's no Torah there if the head of it can be someone who says, if you wear a kippah shrugah, you're an Amalek. And he doesn't apologize, doesn't say, if the slip of the tongue, be a politician, double talk. No. Ahalpados. He holds by it. Kippah shrugah, Amalek. In my classroom, wear whatever kippah you want. For my money, come with strangles. I'll show you my strangle. You're not going to outdo me. I own a real strangle. But Baruch Hashem, hashtiya kedat, ain't no nice. Just cover your hair. This morning, I come walking home from the 5:30 minyan. My dear neighbor, PhD, research, brilliant guy, fabulous wife. Ah, what a couple, Britain, Australia. What fabulous children they're raising. And he's going to shul. I take a look. Nothing on his head. I say, Danny, where's your kippah? The poor guy, we had to turn around and look. I said, maybe we couldn't find it on the floor. We traced the steps. I said, you probably left it upstairs. You ran out of the house thinking you had the kippah. I said, it's happened to me that I walk out of my office. See, I always wear a kippah. So under my hat, I have my kippah. I pulled the hat off, and the kippah is in the hat. Okay? But, Rabbeinu Shalom, how do you talk like that? How do we get rid of it? How do we develop a Ben Torah? How do we change the gestalt of a human being? My dear friends, the most important Gemara I will ever quote, and I have to tell you in advance, because I don't want Yitz Rubin to say the Rebbe is robbing. You won't believe your ears. I worked on the shir about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago already. You all know Thursday night I couldn't work on Shayurim. Friday I had a great grandson. Shabbos is Shabbos. And so I have another great neighbor, Dr. Sam Dershowitz, Samuel Dershowitz. Brilliant, brilliant fellow. And a cousin of Alan, PhD in a certain type of chemistry. Brilliant fellow. So Sam is a chassid of Rav Asher Weiss. And he goes to his shir every Thursday night. So Sam says to me, Aaron, I don't know what to do. Should I come to, they're honoring you, but I said, what do you mean? You have to go to Rav Asher Weiss. Tadir Vishena, Tadir called him. What you do all the time you have to do? He goes to Asher Weiss. Friday morning, he asked me, well, how was it last night? And we're walking to shul. And I say, how was Rav Weiss? Oh, he was fabulous. And he starts telling me what Rav Asher Weiss's drasha was about. And I stop him. I say, I can't believe it. This is exactly what I'm going to say Sunday in the Kollel. So I'm telling Yitzhak in advance, when I give you the printout of Rav Asher Weiss's Shia, it's Shnei Neviyim Mitnabdim B'Signon Echad. But he didn't rob from me, and I didn't rob from him. And I even went further. If I have time, you'll see how I'll develop it beyond Rav Asher. Wow. What a Gemara. Gentlemen, this is the most gentlemen and ladies, this is the most difficult Gemara in the world. It's the most difficult Gemara to live up to. It actually is one of our tragedies of modern Torah history. I'll explain. Nedarim Pei Aleph Amir Aleph. It's a very fascinating Gemara. Gemara asks a simple question. Mipnei ma ein mitzin tamidai chachim latzei tamidai chachamim mibaneha. It's an interesting question. Dr. Tarragon is sitting here. I yet knew his great uncle. What a family. But you know what's amazing about the family? They're all from. How many great rabbis did you see, and what became of some of their children? Do I have to go any further than my research on the Silvi era? The executive secretary of the Agudas HaRabbanim was Mr. Jacob Hallerstein. I quote him in the footnotes. Mr. Hallerstein lived to be over 100. He came in Aliyah, returned to Israel where he was born, when he retired as the executive secretary at around the age of 80. I taught his granddaughter a Michlala. He lived on Palmach, a block and a half from where I live. Came very close to him. So Mr. Hallerstein told me his son went to medical school, very famous medical school. The kid has to eat. He would break out sandwiches he bought from his home. His father was executive secretary, and opposite him, I don't want to mention the name, one of the members of the presidium of the Agudas Rabbanim, his son sat and ate bacon and eggs. So the Gemara is asking a good question. What happened? The greatest Rabbanim, the greatest Rabbanim. And the kids came out, Shkotzim. All right, Freud will give his answers. The Gemara gives a very esoteric answer. Ravina Ramah She'ein Mevarchim Batorah Techila. That they don't say Birchat HaTorah. They don't say Birchat HaTorah. And what does it mean? And the Gemara continues. I'll quote the Gemara briefly, but you can look it up. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Mai Dechtiv Meish HaChacham V'Yavin Atzol, Davaz Enishal HaChacham V'Nevim V'Lom Pishu, Ad Shepishu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yatzmo, Dechtiv V'Yom HaShem, Al Azvam Torati, Hainu Lo Shamu B'Koli, Hainu Lo Halchu Ba, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, She'ein Mevarchin B'Torah Batchila. And the Gemara here quotes the psukim that deal with Churban Bayit, and it's a reference to Churban Bayit as well. What went wrong? Talmidei Chachamim, Yireim Shleimim, people who were medagdek in mitzvah Talak Chachamura, people who gave Maisrat, people who seemed to lead a total Torah life. What went wrong? She'ein mevarchim. They didn't say Birchat HaTorah. And what does this mean? And let's analyze now. My dear students, I want to ask you a simple question. You can take a monkey and train him to put on tefillin. Right or wrong? They train monkeys to speak, to laugh, to acknowledge, to tap their paws. You train him to put on tefillin. Tell me, is that a good Jew or is that a monkey? No, I want an answer. The monkey remains a monkey. Our greatest tragedy is that Torah remains an isolated act. It does not infuse, envelop, inspire, totally alter and totally charge our personalities, our spiritual gestalt, our Weltanschauung. It's like learning chemistry. Tell me, in Yeshiva University, everyone is from today, Baruch Hashem. I saw the students, Baruch Hashem, they looked good, they looked from, and you know, all over the place. I was inspired. Well, these kids go chemistry class, biology class, mathematics class. I want to ask a question. Do they stand outside the room as they walk on and say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al limud biologia, al limud chimia, al limud matematika? I don't know. I didn't see it in my time. I don't think they do it today. You're studying. It's knowledge. Important knowledge. I'm not denigrating, believe me, halavai, we can conquer the world. You all know the Rav's viewpoint, and that's not just the Rav, it's basic understanding of Yiddishkeit, Meluah, Taretz, V'Kivshucha. God left Tohu Vohu in the world. Why do we give a kid a Brit Milah? This Friday I have Kanein Hara, Brit Milah of a great grandson. It's my third already Brit Milah of great grandchildren. Why do we give a Brit Milah? Why didn't God make man perfect? Why do we subject a little kid that all these do-gooders have to go to court? It's an operation, you harm the kid. The New York Times, we have a miracle today that the New York Times has had article after article that in modern times they discovered nothing's more healthy than a Brit Milah. So suddenly the New York Times is in favor of giving everyone and every male in the world a Brit Milah. But why do we give a Brit Milah? Because God left the world unfinished. A challenge to the human being. Finish my work. That's a Brit Milah. That's chemistry and mathematics and whatever discipline, whatever science, whatever the humanities. But that's something that doesn't totally affect, influence, motivate, pulsate within the Jew. Yiddishkeit, you're a totally different person. You're a great Jew doing mitzvot. When you do mitzvot, you are connecting yourself with the totality of Jewish experience, with all the generations that came before you and all the generations that will come after you. Birchat HaTorah has to totally change the person. It's not just isolated acts. It's not just chemistry, mathematics, sociology, English literature. It is the total human being is here on the world to be a servant and a servant of the Ribbono Shel Olam, his people, his Torah, his land. And that's what the Gemara means. Shelo b'yechu b'yechat HaTorah. You want a proof that I'm right? And I heard this, introduced to this when I was a kid. Both Mimoriu Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik and both Mimoriu Rebbe, the Mashkiach of the Yeshiva, Rav Yaakov Moshe HaKohen Lesson, Zichronim Tzadikim Levracha. You should know I had a very big thrill on Sunday morning at the public lecture. You saw the crowd waiting to talk at me. I said later I was like the Rebbe giving out dollar bills. I finally got to the luncheon in my honor there. I couldn't eat. They were up to dessert already and I walked in. But among the people waiting was Rav Lesson's granddaughter. I was very, very, very moved by that. Rav Lesson's granddaughter. I understand her husband just joined the Board of Trustees of Yeshiva University. I was very moved. So I heard this from both the Rav. And it's, you want to know that my interpretation is correct, that this is what it means, Shalom Bichu Bichat HaTorah to Tosfat. Brachat Daf Yud Aleph Amir Aleph. Divrei HaMatkil Shekva Nifta. And Tosfos asked a beautiful, beautiful question. Tell me, Sukkot, almost around the corner now, Shavuot, wow. You remember Rav Hirsch thought that a Jew's catechism, if I'm saying it right, is his calendar. So here you understand Baruch Hashem, Shavuot is upon us. Then it's a sad summer, the 3 weeks. Then we're frightened out of our wits, Chodesh Elul. Then Rosh Hashanah, Seret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot. So I want to ask you a question. You daven, let's say I'll daven with my grandchildren, run a minyan. All right, I'll daven with the grandchildren. I daven later on Chol HaMoed because I want to be with the children. 7 o'clock davening, 8 o'clock finished. Go over to my daughter, go into her big sukkah, a cup of coffee, a piece of cake. Tell me, do I make a bracha leishev by sukkah? Absolutely. I go home, get a little hungry, achveis at 12 o'clock, and get to work, pull stuff out of the freezer, into the microwave. Once again, leishev by sukkah. Wake up, afternoon nap, 4 o'clock, English tea, leishev by sukkah. 8 o'clock in the evening, you're invited out to friends, a new sukkah, leishev by sukkah. Tosfos asks such a simple question. How come when it comes to sukkah we make a bracha once and twice and thrice and four times, and when it comes to Talmud Torah, you get home 9 o'clock, I learn. 1 o'clock, I learn. 5 o'clock, I learn. 8 o'clock, I learn. And all I did was make a bracha early in the morning before davening, right or wrong? Beautiful question. And Tosfos gives an answer, Yesh Loma, the shiny Torah, She'enu Miyaesh Daito. That Torah is not just something you study. It's not just a class you attended. It's not just you walked in at 5 o'clock and you heard an hour and a half lecture on organic chemistry. Torah, it's part of your total being. Your consciousness and your subconsciousness. The total gestalt. Torah. If you approach Torah that way, then how can you speak Lashon Hara? How can you speak Rechilat? How can you put down other Jews? How can you rob? How can you let money conquer all? I can tell you, you don't know what we're in for. You think just the Olmec, take a look at the state of Israel. The president, the prime minister, chief rabbi, the judge dealing with the investigation into the chief rabbi. I was married to a student of mine. I know him when he was far, far from a chief rabbi. The judge said the amount of graft involved is staggering. That's why he had him arrested. He was in jail for days. If Torah infuses your personality, you're a different person altogether. The whole mahut, it's not just I'm doing mitzvot, isolated mitzvot. At 7 o'clock I daven. I went to a chemistry class. At 9 o'clock I learned the daf yomi. I went to a biology class. And the rest of the day, I'm a human being, like every other human being. I'm a normal person with likes and dislikes and enmity and jealousy and Wall Street Journal thinking. Oh, you don't know what that means. I don't want to be too personal, but I know full well what that means. I grew up in America. When I told my parents I wanted to be a rabbi, they were not happy. A rabbi, a medical doctor, those years, every bright kid, every kid I taught in the 50s into the 60s, any kid who had an IQ above 110 is a world famous medical doctor today. Today it's different. Today the kids, the who wants medicine, Obama, socialized, can't make a living, high tech, business, investment, financial, all right, it goes in cycles. But a Torah Jew, even when he's a medical doctor, even when he's in high tech, even when he's an investment, he is a Ben Torah. The whole gestalt of the person is different. Shebirchu birchot haTorah. Or as Tosfos says, Lo miyayesh daito. And here I come, as I said at one of my talks in America, that I think it was at the private Bernard Revel Graduate School talk to the Board of Trustees and faculty. So I quoted a student in BMT, early years of BMT. BMT that, as I said the other night, changed the course of Torah history in the Anglo world. And a student once came over to me and said, Rebbe, you know, you can never give a shiur without bringing in Jewish history, and you can never teach Jewish history without bringing in a shiur. And I considered that the greatest compliment I ever got. And let me bring in a little bit Jewish history. This Gemara Shelo, Bichu, Bichot HaTorah, for hundreds of years, it wasn't a problem. What do I mean it wasn't a problem? Jews lived in the ghetto. In the ghetto, everyone is from. You take ghettos in Israel, everyone is from. There's no challenge. So you can be really from, partially from, you can be a monkey putting on tefillin, but you're not going to walk away from Yiddishkeit. We came out of the ghetto, and you all know what happened. Mendelssohn, the great grandson of the Rama, for whom he was named, Reb Moshe Mendelssohn, Reb Moshe Isserles. One grandchild died Jewish. Not one great grandchild, to the best of historians' knowledge, died as a Jew. So when you come out of the ghetto, there's a tremendous challenge. How do you remain Jewish? And a number of great movements sprung up in the Torah world. One movement that continues to pulsate and animate until today, and today has taken over part of Yeshiva University. And of course, that's Hasidus. And Hasidus said very simply, build the wall around yourself. And no matter where you live, no matter where you go, no matter where you travel, but a chassid is a walking wall. His clothes are different. His face is different. A beard, payas. His Shabbos dress is different. His love, his devotion to his Rebbe. So that's one way, that's one way. And Hasidus was very powerful with all its misdeeds. And I don't want to minimize davening Shalom Bisman with all my love for Lubavitch. They don't start a Shabbos morning minyan until 9:30. Shem Yirachem. With all its misdeeds. And I don't deny it. You all know I've lectured on it extensively. I'm familiar with all the Harabim that went back and forth and forth and back. But Hasidus conquered the world. It saved millions of Jews from assimilation, from intermarriage. Today, powerful again, my own Talmud, Reb Moshe Weinberger, not the Mashgiach of YU, but the Mashbiya of YU, with all that that implies. Chabad, take a look. The Panovitcher Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbero Pavlovsky, should live and be well, went to Kfar Chabad and gave a Sheyur a few weeks ago. Do you understand what that means? Panovitch, where Rav Shach declared Chabad Chutz L'Tchum, they conquered the world. But there was another movement, a movement that couldn't conquer the world, but a movement that at least conquered a few individuals. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, his real name, Lipkin. Could you believe it? That was the real name. The Ramatkal of the Israeli army, Shachak Lipkin, was a direct descendant, son after son after son. And Shachak Lipkin, I don't know if he knew how to open a Gemara right side up, chief of staff of the IDF. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, he came up with a different viewpoint. Musa. What is Musa all about? Why did Rabbi Yisrael fight bitterly, caustically, what he called in the words of the prophet, mitzvot anashim melumada, to act out of rote, to act out of habit, to be a monkey putting on tefillin. That's not Yiddishkeit. That will not survive out of the ghetto. That will not survive the challenges. That will not survive the onslaught of the Western modern world. And Rabbi Yisrael, this was Musa. Whatever you do, do with all your heart. Study. Analyze it. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. At all times you're in God's presence. You work on yourself, a better human being. The Musa movement, have you ever studied Ochat Tzadikim? Who here? To every me, the Mesilat Yesharim. You isolate yourself in a Musa shtibel. You know what that was? A separate room, at times a separate house. No windows. Dark. Just a few candles. Think who you are, where you came from, what your goals are in life, where you are going. This was Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Did he succeed? Absolutely not. Of course, the masses can't live up to these demands. This is the sad reality that we all have to face as rabbis, as mechanchim. You're going out into the world. We have to make tremendous demands, and we ourselves have to be totally inspiring. We have to be a candle with a tremendous flame burning. We have to invite people to take a bit of our flame. But we have to understand, we're not going to succeed with everyone. Halavai, we should succeed with the majority and add to their understanding. This was Reb Yisrael. couldn't succeed. Became very popular. Oh, everyone loved him. The story in Vilna with the cholera epidemic, right? And he got up on Yom Kippur and he made Kiddush and he ate and he drank and he called upon everyone to follow his example. Pikuach Nefesh, the Maskilim loved this. It was written. He was lionized. It was written up. It was in all the newspapers, the periodicals. But the depth of Reb Yisrael, people couldn't come to. But Chassidus succeeded, became a mass movement. Because Chassidus, they're all types of levels. Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin was a Chassid of the 6th Rebbe, of the 7th Rebbe. Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin, Nukol HaTorah Kula Munach Lefanov Kamo B'toch Kufsa, like in a box in front of him. Atzadik Yisod Olam. He's a chassid. Then I told you more than once, if I didn't say this, I said it past year as a matter of upbringing at Lubavitch, and you know, a wise aleck high school kid. So I'm pushing my way up front. And evidently I pushed a 6'4" guy with a long beard and black clothes. He turned around and cursed me in English curses that made Hollywood movies look mild by comparison. Max, let me ask you a simple question. This is a chassid? Sure, he must have been on boats. He was a seaman. Chabad came over to him in Malaysia and said, did you put on tefillin today? And he put on tefillin and the rest is history. That's a simple chassid. Musa couldn't succeed on that level. Only with the chosen few. But this was Reb Yisrael. He named the enemy. He delineated the enemy. Mitzvot anashim milumeda. When you act out of habit, act out of road, sure. All these people that are involved in monetary crimes, all these people, God have mercy, I pardon me, the ladies present, to rape women, to seduce women, to be serial seducers, rabbanim with beards, rabbanim who wrote for Art Scroll, rabbanim who had the finest stellas in the world. How can this be? How can you put it together? Pedophiles, what we've had in Israel, we had in our own little camp. You don't start to understand the atmas nefesh of someone like myself who saw the Tzioni Dati world developing tremendous Torah leadership and overnight you can't believe what happened here. How can it happen? Because the lom ya'ish mineh. To them it was isolated acts. It wasn't totality. It wasn't Musa. It was human frailty. Or as Rakepit puts it, a trained monkey putting on tefillin and learning dafyomi. That does not yet turn you into a fiery, total Torah personality. And that's the Gemara. Shelo b'yechu b'chot ha-Torah. What a Gemara. You with me? So let's gain weiter. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Come on. All right. Now I'll pick up where Reb Asher Weiss and I start the same way, but I'm going to carry it further. I'm going to come halacha l'maisa too. The Gemara in Brachot that I quoted is a very fascinating Gemara. Everything in life, we make a bracha. You make one bracha. The most important aspect in life to me, I'm a primitive romantic individual. It's hard for me to tolerate what goes on in the world today, but all right, I have to live with it. I was Shabbos at a bar mitzvah. So the family, it's a family I grew up in Aliyah, and I don't know if I did the right thing or not. I'll be very honest, because they came in Aliyah with teenage children, and it didn't totally succeed. Yet it had great success, but part of it was not successful. So this wonderful girl, I saw her grow up, married, children, divorced. So here at the bar mitzvah, she's speaking, and she's that's after the davening, and she's praising her ex-husband who taught the kid, and the husband is there, and he taught the kid how to lay in. And I was thinking to myself, how do you get divorced? How do you harm children? And you talk of your exes. My wife says, if someone gets divorced, it should be enmity. There should be reasons. You don't get in rabbinic literature, I can't go into now, that's what's called the get me ahava, but I can't go into that now. It's a get me sinner. And it hurts so. But alright. You're getting married. I just was Masada Kedushin. The last Siddur Kedushin was for a Talmud from the Kollel, John Fisher. So you make the Birchat the Kedushin. It's only one bracha. Shei Kedushin Avay. The Borei Pri Hagafen is a Kosher bracha. It's nothing to do with Kedushin. It's just that Kedushin has to be in a Kosher bracha. Shei Kedushin Mitzvah Tzavon Al Arayt. V'yasolenu et harusot. V'yiklo otanu suot lana. Et kubah Kedushin Beruchat HaShem. Mekandesh Hamo Yisrael. Et kubah v'kedush. One bracha. A woman likes Shabbos candles, Yantiv candles. One bracha, Shechiyonu, was not part of the bracha. The Birchat HaMitzvah is lahadlik neshel Yantiv. All right, we make a Shechiyonu that we're alive and kicking. Thank God. Comes to Birchat HaTorah, the Gemara describes, and quoting from the Gemara in Brachat, Yudalef Amid Bet. One bracha, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvah Tavit, Sivan Al-Asok with different Torah. Rabbi Yochanan comes along. No, I have a different bracha. V'harev na Hashem Elokeinu at divrei Torahcha befinu pipiyot amcha beit Yisrael ni'anachnu v'tzeitzeinu v'tzeitzei amcha beit Yisrael kolani yedei shemecha v'yoskei Torahtecha baruch ata Hashem melamei Torah l'amo Yisrael. Still not satisfied. Rav Hanuna comes along and he has a third bracha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav. Asher b'chabonu b'kol chamin v'natan lanu et torato baruch ata Hashem notin ha-torah. So you have no less than three different brachot. Why? We say all three. All right, we can analyze. One is a birchat hamitzvah, one may be a birchat shevach vahodaya, but why? Why do we have three different brachot? Give me 1 second. This is the humor. So this is all right. I don't see the Bach. I thought I had it here. Okay, I'll wave the Bach and Hunford later. Interesting. Okay. So three different brachot we make. And the Yomo, when I was discussing it with him a few weeks ago, he referred me to a mashar on the Gemara. And there's a Bach in Or HaChaim on Birchat HaTorah. You take the mashal, you take the bach, you put them together. They see three different tremendous aspects that have to result from these three brachot. Why? Why three brachot? Why three different aspects? What are the brachot teaching us? The first bracha is exactly what we're saying. La'asok b'divrei Torah. It's not just you do it and you walk away, you come out of class. It's totally with you. It is part and parcel of your personality. To quote Rabbi Lessen, to quote the Mashgiach, it's like someone owning a business. Even when you're not in the business, you're thinking about it. You're trying to finance it. You're watching the stock market. You're trying to figure out how to get the best loan at the best rate from the bank. You're trying to look for suppliers. China, what's going on now? Where do we buy from? Who do we sell to? There's a revolution happening in Israel. could be in 50 years, there'll be no exports to America, and everything will go to China and Japan. Could very well be. But this is la'asok, asik, the lomi yayashmine, as the Bach puts it, it has to transform your entire personality. This is the first bracha. Gentlemen, you're going into the rabbinate. If you walk in disoriented, haphazard, desolatory, that Torah is one part of your day, but only limited, you're going to be a total failure. There'll be very little to inspire. Balabatim, Jewish people are very clever. They're very smart. Even those that may look to be distant from Torah, but they can evaluate a rabbi very easily. Do I have to go any further than the story I told you and repeated it and I repeat it again? The greatness of Reb Lazer Silva when he sends a representative in 1940 to Vilna. What is going on? Who does he send? Dr. Shmuel Schmidt of Polet Zion. That's like Mapai. A man distant from Torah, a good Jew, a living Jew, but no understanding of Torah. And he meets Reb Chaim Moshe Gazinsky, and remember, Reb Chaim Moshe shakes hands with him and says, Megechach Rufin Reb Shmuel, Dr. Samuel Schmidt, can I call you Reb Shmuel? And Dr. Schmidt says to him, Rebbe, how can you call me Reb Shmuel? Das kommt nicht zu mir. Ich bin ein Shoyme Shabbos. I'm a Machalel Shabbos. And Reb Chaim Moshe says, but you risked your life to come here. You are Reb Shmuel. He was never Machalel Shabbos again in his life. I met great-grandchildren of Dr. Shmuel Schmidt. And I will accept no compliment. I had 2 weeks in America. I'm Yisrael, I'm glad you understood that my head I didn't need a bigger hat. I appreciated your words, Avi. Take my word for it. But I had 2 weeks in America, min git up covered, who the blah blah blah. My dear students, I am a nobody till the day comes that I can shake someone's hand and he'll never be Machalel Shabbos again. That's a sign of La'asok B'divrei Torah, the Lo Miyayish Minei. That I have not achieved, unfortunately. 2, I have achieved. What is the second bracha? V'harev. Who? Modern Hebrew. Ellie, what does harev mean? Sweetness. Sweetness. Harevna. My dear students, you're going to teach Torah? Never forget the story that happened to me. Many years ago, Young Israel of Hollywood asked me to come and be scholar in residence. No. You gotta have a reason to go. What was fit my gang gangs to Hollywood, Florida, scholar in residence? But I made a deal with them. I knew that Joe DiMaggio's handler, confidant, he died actually in his arms. Morris Engelberg is a lawyer in Hollywood, Florida. So remember I told you the story? I trust I told it this year, but if not, I'll repeat it for the sake of the wider audience. So I said, I'll only come on condition I can meet Morris Engelberg. So Young Israel now had a problem. How do you get to Morris Engelberg, a reformed Jew? When you walk into his office, the sand starts to fall down. It's $500 an hour, etc., etc. So it turned out that Joe DiMaggio's heart man was a Shomer Shabbos, a member of the, like all good Jews, all doctors today are Shomer Shabbos, or all Shomer Shabbos that I meet are doctors. He was a member of the Young Israel. So he called Morris. Oh, a heart specialist calls you and says, Morris, you have to meet this rabbi from Jerusalem. He's from the Bronx, etc. Vayehi Hayom, my Talmud David Goldis, Fiat Me'arayim to Morris. You gotta see, the Yankee clip is sweet. What goes on there on, Hollywood, Florida. Ein, to quote the Gemara, Ein aniyut b'makam hashirut. So I come in and I start talking and learning with Morris, and he goes crazy with joy. The rabbi knows baseball better than I do. So he gave me the most expensive gift I ever got in my life. The second miracle is my wife let me hang it. That's the second miracle. It's a tremendous portrait of Joe DiMaggio with a big signature, with all types of authentication, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. So he goes into the safe to get the gift for me and a signed baseball for my Talmud David, who drove us around. So, no, I'm not going to sit still. I see the wall is covered with all the plaques and schmacks and memorabilia. I stop looking around, and in the middle of all the plaques is a Hebrew document. And I fainted. It's a graduate of Torah's Chaim Yeshiva Elementary School, Morris Engelberg. I said, Morris, you went to Eitz Torah's Chaim. My wife's mother taught there. What happened to you? He says to me, Rabbi, I'm glad you asked. All I remember about my elementary school education is that the rabbis beat me with rulers. I got back to civilization. I found that his mother was a tzaddikit. She was the beloved secretary of Yeshiva Flatbush to practically the day she died. My dear students, know how to teach Torah with love, with sweetness. There's a plaque in my office, a Talmud of mine many years old, a very famous medical doctor, Dr. Shmuel Preschel, is in Lakewood today. And it's a plaque he made for me. It hangs in my office. And it says, a Rebbe who knows how to teach Torah with sweetness. V'harefna. This is so important. We have a beautiful heritage. Don't make it a burden. Make it a privilege. What were the words that the Rav used? I repeated it so many times. Our goal is that people should become excited with the romance of the Jewish people. V'harevna. Never, ever forget this. V'harevna. And here I'll tell you a beautiful story which I've alluded to. This summer I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. My article on the Rav and the Rebbe is coming out. People are going to kiss me. People are going to maledict me. Someone's zangizant. But I heard now the whole YU symposium, the Rav and the Rebbe, and the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Zayin, evidently is correct. Makom hinichu lo avatav lehit gadeba. Right? I spoke about it the other day in the Beis Medrash, that God left something for a little guy like Rakefet to do something that no one else did. And here they played the backwards and forwards. What did the Rav think of the Rebbe and Azay and Ahin? And they quoted the family. I found out who the family is. That's what I suspected. And I have to tell you, no one but no one of all these learned, erudite people, not from YU, not from Chabad, the Rav was interviewed in 1977. And the Rav spoke about Chabad and the Rebbe. You don't have to quote this A or B or C or D. Quote Maria Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. And Rakefet may be the only one in the world who saved the interview from Marav Erev Rosh Hashanah. So, among other things, in my article I quote the Rav. And the Rav was asked by Yerushalmi, I don't know who asked him, it's the son, the person who asked, was a big reporter, was a mapainik, his father was the Av Beitin of the Eidah Charedid, or the Rosh Yeshiva of the big yeshiva, big in the Charedi, beyond the Agudat Yisrael world. And the kid was a sheikh. It's like, at that period of time, almost every kid came out like that, as we've shown with facts. Mapainik, the secular Zionist dream, so he says to the Rav, but at the Ken ganz gut, was Yiddishkeit is. He knew very well what a monkey who puts on tefillin is and what Yiddishkeit is all about. So he asked the Rav, he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, a Litvak like you, how do you relate to Chabad going on the street corners and asking people, are you Jewish? Did you put on tefillin? And the Rav gave a brilliant answer. This is, only the Rav could be this intelligent, so sharp, right to the core. He says, look, I'm a Litvak. Could be I wouldn't do it. But he says, you don't understand what Chabad is doing. What Chabad is doing, when they say to a Jew on the street, did you put on tefillin? They're saying, do you know that you're Jewish? Do you know what being Jewish is? And if he agrees to put on tefillin, it means he's starting to think, who am I? Where do I come from? Jew starts to think, quoting Rebbe now, my Rebbe, you have no idea where it may end. And I admire Chabad for that. An excellent answer. And I want to tell you, this is the greatness of Chabad. People criticize them from today to tomorrow. You know, I learned in Lakewood already, I heard criticisms, the early 50s, Chabad. They have a way of sweetness. You got to stand in awe. Chabad opened here in Rechavya, Sharei Chesed. Chabad, they opened a few years ago. It turns out the rabbi, his brothers are my Talmidim, virtual Talmidim. They once heard my voice. I'm walking through Sharei Chesed to visit my mother, who was in the senior citizens there. And they heard my voice. And these two Chabadnikim, young people, come running off. Are you Rabbi Rakefet? I said, I'm Aaron Rakefet. What's the big deal? Oh, we're your students, brother. So he opened, I thought to myself, what do you need Chabad around the corner from the great synagogue? Who needs him? Those that are from, those. What that Rabbi Israel Goldberg has accomplished with sweetness. It's unbelievable. He had a move now. They daven in the great synagogue. They were too big for the little what they have under the windmill. But I'll give you a simple example. I benefit personally. My wife, up and down Rehov Aza, which is why I couldn't get out of my house for 2 days. Up and down Keren Kayemet. These two streets. Beginning at about 10 o'clock Purim morning, every hour on the hour, until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there's another Megillah reading in another restaurant. And announcements. And my wife told me, she went down early, on Berlin 1, there was a Megillah reading, we're at Berlin 18, she walked 1.5 minute, got there early, got a chair. She said, Chiloniim walked by, they joined. People park their cars, come out, they join. A Ziskite, they know how to do it. And this is Baharevna. And if we're going into the Ravnit, and we're going into Chinuch, and we're going into Kirov Baharevna, we have to know how to teach Torah. It has to be sweet. We have to learn from master teachers. You ever saw Nechama Leibowitz teach? You ever saw the Rav teach? A Yodzeit Shir, the Harevna. When we came out of, I remember one year, the Yodzeit Shir, how can I forget it? We went in, the Shir began at 8 o'clock, and it was a cool winter night, Gimel Shvat. We came out 12:30 at night. It was snowing. There were no buses. I walked home from Washington Heights to Washington Avenue in the Bronx. Whole group of us would even feel the snow. We were flying in the air. We were like Hasidim coming from a Fabrengen of the Rebbe. You understand? That's a Hasid. Rakefet writes in Washington Avenue, in Washington to Washington, the difference between a Litvak to a Chassid. I had this young man. If I would reveal everything I did, I know did, but some things let it remain unsaid. But I had a big schut, whatever I was doing, and the people helping me in New York provided someone to lift packages for me and move around tapes and help me. And these are all Chabadnikim. It's my dear friend who's a Chabadnik himself. and born into it, a Gaborina, and he provided a Chabad youngster in his 20s, a Bal Tshuva, who was a kid, grew up in L.A., probably yanked bananas on trees, a monkey jumping around, and Baruch Hashem, Chabad, his mother I met, and him. So we're talking about tapes. So he tells me, he sees I'm working on tapes of the Rav, and he tells me he has over 1,000 tapes of the Rebbe. So I say to him, oh, can the Deichret in Yiddish? You know, my natural instinctive reaction was, if you have 1,000 tapes of the Rebbe, I can talk Mamalashin with you. When I came to YU, I immediately only started talking Yiddish, because when I went to YU and I walked in the halls of Amsterdam Avenue, ich hab nagaret Yiddish, metgeret vetgeret Gayish. Yomo, you speak Gayish or Yiddish? What is it? God, you came from the Ukraine and you're speaking Goyish in America? Please, you spoke Goyish there and Goyish in America? Akshav, no Yiddish? We'll let you speak Hebrew too. Even though, what language was the Torah given in? What did they teach me in Lakewood? We have here Lakewood family. Torah was given in Yiddish. And the worst part is, yes, I believe it. So I believe it. What can I tell you? That's the worst part. And I believe it until today. But that's for Harevna, that you have to make it sweet. It's fall in love. Look at the privilege you have that you're a Jew. Look at the privilege you have that you're alive today. I have so much more, but I spoke about the other night. I could have spoken for hours, but you can't bore an audience indefinitely. Look at the privilege that you're alive. Look at the gathering of the exiles. Look at, I have grandchildren who are mad at me because I write in English and I don't have time to study. I've had offers to translate, publishers come to me. I don't have time for it because you have to stand over to translate. If it's worthwhile, 100 years from now, let them translate. But look at the privilege. Little kids, 2 years of age, speak perfect Hebrew. Donna, how long did it take you to learn Hebrew? Come on, 2 years of age, your grandchildren, right or wrong, perfect Hebrew. Well, a minute. Look at the privilege we have that Rakefet could go to Bernard Rebbe Graduate School and smack their faces. So I'm giving a whole shiur now to the Board of Trustees on what is Chochmat Yisrael compared to Talmud Torah. And among the examples I gave is an example from this very class that I spoke about a few years ago, that the Maharam Mirotenberg has a tshuva that you can't come into shul with a knife. And the Ramar quotes it, and they give reasons. A knife is Makatsa Yomav Shela Ben Adam, and a shul is Marich Yomav. No, that's Talmud Torah. It ends there. Chochmat Yisrael. What are Jews doing carrying knives? Moshe, do you have a knife with you? What are you doing with a knife? What's going on here, Tovia? Oh, they were in business. They went from city to city. They had to carry knives. Wait a minute. Don't they pay taxes? Didn't they get protection? What's the relationship with the government? How do you pay taxes? What is democracy? Chochmat Yisrael. Wow, what you gonna love. So now the Board of Trustees, the faculty, they're very happy. I gave other examples, but let it stand on this example. Ah, oh, the professor has made it tangible. And then I took out my knife, and boy, did I turn it. Dean Berger said to me later, boy, you gave it to us. I said, that was my intention. I said, and look how privileged we are who live in Israel, that this Marami Rottenberg, this Rama, for Aaron Rakefet, a little nobody, was Halacha Lamaisa. What do I do with my gun when I come home from basic training and you can't let the gun out of your hands? How do you go into a shul and daven? And I spoke about all the tshuvot that have been written. You put it under the bench, you keep your eye on it, and you daven. Ashreinu shezachinu, I went on and on, that in the state of Israel, grandchildren, labriyot of survivors who suffered under Hitler, went through every hell, grandchildren of Jews in the Mela in Morocco, and Baruch Hashem not only carry guns, man tanks, fly planes, and we have the Sheila Utshuva of the Maram Mirotenberg come to life before our very eyes. Ashreinu Shezachinu. To serve in the army is not only a chovah, it's an obligation, it's a melchemet mitzvah. Again, I suffer, no one relates to it on that level. It's an open Rambam. What are we, Reformed Jews? It's an open Gemara Saita. I met Tibia's brother. I'm proud of him, and he's proud of him. I told him where my grandson is. If I told you what my grandson is doing, you wouldn't understand one word. Your brother said right away, oh, wow, your grandson is in that Sayeret. Believe me, I'm proud of him. Ashreinu Shezachinu, a privilege, a romance, v'harevna. This is the second aspect. The third one is the most difficult. And it's what we've been dealing with day in and day out. All those interviews on the radio in America. Ashebachabanu mikol hamim. Ah, the differentiation. We Jews have a very tremendous challenge because we have a split personality. We are humans, and we are Jews. On one hand, and this was axiomatic to the Reb's thinking, how many times have I said to you, Ger betoshav enochi imacham, and said over the Reb's Torah? This is axiomatic to our existence. A part of the big world. There's no ghetto today. No way you can lock yourself in a ghetto, even a kid in Meir Sharim, even at YU. The first Satma Chassid has graduated YU, got a bachelor's a week ago, going on to law school. Made big news, got YU good publicity, and considering that Satma owns New York City, it's good to be on the good side of Satma. We're part of the big world. Cancer strikes all humans. Heart trouble strikes all humans. Food has to be healthy, good. We have to know how to eat, how to balance our meals. What is it? Four different vegetables a day. That's for all humans. On the other hand, we're Jews. And we're very different than the rest of the human race. We can live in America hundreds of years, but there's a limit how much of America can live within us. God have mercy, you have a President of the United States, Supreme Court of the United States, same-sex marriages, legal. Talk against homosexuality, people have lost their jobs. This is happening. Real. Tangible. It's beyond comprehension. So there's a very big limit, what we can accept, what we can't accept. I need not tell you the battle of feminism that rages right now with those of you who follow the news, with the Aguda Convention, with the Nova Minska Rebbe. People said to me, wow, you said what the Nova Minska said? Yeah, but no one gives a damn when Aaron Rakefet says it. But when the Nova Minska Rebbe says it, suddenly the New York Times is going for the gas pipe. What's going on? And our own student, Rabbi LaPatton, Dasha LaPatton, you know my... When did I meet with him? Was it this year or a year ago? This year. An hour and a half. And you know my final words to him. I love him. He was a dear student. I said, Asher, I could have met with Solomon Schechter 100 years ago. We would have had this exact same discussion. And exactly his point of view is your point of view. 100 years ago, 1914, I could have met with Solomon Schechter in my office. I met with Asher LaPatton. And it hurts me, because I don't want to be negative. Not at all. But we have to live. Asher b'chabonu mikol hamim. V'natan lanu et Torato. So we have to understand the difference. V'chai olam nata b'tocheinu. V'natan lanu Torat emet. V'chai olam nata b'tocheinu. We have to understand where we're different, what we can accept, what we have to block out. And this is a tremendous challenge. Feminism is a work in progress. I cannot tell you we've solved every problem. The musical instruments and the Hallel, they never had problems like this before the Enlightenment. Whoever dreamt in a Beit Knesset they're going to have music on Shabbos morning, and along come the reformers, Migdash Ma'at, and the real Beit HaMikdash who had music, we have to have it in our Beit HaMikdash, Migdash Ma'at, and take a look. Why you, Rosh Chodesh? There it rolls. But this is a challenge ongoing. Money, financially, what we can do, what we can't do. Endless, endless questions in modernity. How do you run a country on Shabbos? What do you do with an airport? What do you do with communication? What do you do with a foreign ministry? Are we Kechol HaGoyim or are we Jews? And the Rav used to say he has tremendous nachat when he reads in the New York Times that they could not get a viewpoint from the State of Israel because the foreign ministry does not work on the Sabbath. I quote Rebbe, and this is real, ongoing. So all three brachot have tremendous meaning for us. And let me reiterate, and then let me come halacha l'maaseh. Young rabbis, you are bebechinat arvei rabbanim. I don't want to say erev rav, but you're almost finished. Many of you are going out into the world. And it's a challenging world, a difficult world, but all in all, it's a wonderful world. The problem of humans, Torah is not just isolated, haphazard deeds. It's a transformation of the total personality. Shelo asku, shelo birchu birchot haTorah. What a Gemara. The sinat chinam, the yahavat momon that can conquer everything and anything. Could you imagine a chief rabbi doing gerut for money that no other rav would handle? And they tell me it's not, my daughter who knows from within tells me it's documented. It's not lashon hara, not rechila. It's going to come out in court if he's foolish enough to allow a trial and doesn't reach a plea bargain. It's going to come out in court. Could you imagine it? It's inconceivable. Inconceivable. How do you let money blind you? Don't understand it. But what a Gemara, what a Yerushalmi. Tosfat, the Loma Yayash Minei. And three different brachot. And each bracha is so overwhelming, so important. La'asok, that's the transformation of the personality. Vaharev, to teach with love, with inspiration, with sweetness. And of course, the tremendous problem that all of us face and deal with, and so many questions arrive. What can we accept? What do we have to reject? Where do we draw the line? Where are we? The Bechinat Toshavim, no different than Michelle and the President. And where do we have to say, Ad kan, you go your way, but we go our way. Asher b'chabanu mikol ha'min, v'natan lanu Torah emet, v'chay olam lata b'tochein, all that's involved in birchat haTorah. And halacha l'maisa, let me see if I can propose some solutions. In my humble opinion, a good deal of our hatred and sinat chinam is a result of a concept known as Das Torah, Da'at Torah. I gave many, many lectures on it. I'm very proud of those lectures. The concept of Da'at Torah is not a Torah concept. It's not a Jewish concept. It's from a different religion. It has nothing to do with us. You want to understand what Torah is about? Go to my Rebbe's Chamesh Drashot, which I've cited so many times. But you see, the problem with that Torah is it reaches the conclusion that there's only one way to go. And anyone who doesn't go my way is not a good Jew. Now, that is absolutely not correct. Halacha attempts to reach a conclusion. Look into the Rambam, the Hakdamah to Mishneh Torah. I've taught that Rambam thousands of times over the decades, over the last 55 years. Yes, halacha, we try to reach a conclusion, what we call a crystallization, a hitgav, should be a bit mituberet, or what the Rambam calls hiskim oleim kol Yisrael, because we want halacha to be one. And we always try, nevertheless, there are many rabbinic levels where they're very different. Svadim feast on rice and beans on Pesach, and Ashkenazim have to feast on matzah. Svadim have it fabulous on Pesach. Ashkenazim have it a little bit harder, particularly in Israel, where the economy is geared towards the Eidot HaMizrach, because they're by far the more traditional when compared to the Ashkenazic population. But when it comes to Hashkafa, let me quote to you a Mishnah Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed and Zayinam, and Aleph Lefikach, Echad V'Echad Chayav Lomar, Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. Everyone, I say, the world was created for me, and my Talmud Rabbi Dr. Nachum Amsel, who was here Thursday night, he was in the very first Kollel class. So Nachum called me Friday, he loved the Vort on Chatzotzra. So we spoke about it where I got it from, I don't even recall, but I saw it years ago, he found a few Dashanim already hit it. Then but I told him further what I would have built if I had time. So he told me a good Vort. Bishvili. Interpret it differently. What does Shvil mean? A path. Nativ. Bishvili. Nivra Olam. Everyone has a different path. And God created me. This is my path. Bishvili Nivra Olam. It's a fabulous part. This is the Rav's famous part. Quoting Rav Kook. Ad shelo natzati eini kedai. What we say in the Vidui. That if God put us in the world at this moment in time, it's because we can succeed. If we were born 100 years earlier, we wouldn't have the capability to succeed. If we're born 100 years from now, no, bishvili, this is where we are. And this is so important. Hanoch lenar al pi dako. And if we only went with that viewpoint, we could be Hasidim, we don't have to curse the Litvakim, we could be Litvakim, we don't have to curse the Hasidim, we can be Agudistim, we don't have to curse the Mizrachim, we can be Mizrachim, we wouldn't have to call it Kippah Shruga Amalek. It would be a different world. No sinat chinam, as Rav Kook said, let's have ahavat chinam. But it would take away so much of the negativism that is part of the Torah world. And I want to tell you something. Part of the great tragedy that came upon the Torah world is a direct result of Machloket and Sinat Chinam. And these are facts. You heard of Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yonatan Epshitz? Study the period. Der Machloket, two Gedole Gedolim, like Rav Kamievsky and Rav Orbach. The fact that they could fight on the level they fought, it totally weakened the prestige of the rabbinate. Did you ever hear, there's a guy named Rothkopf did an MA thesis on the divorce in Cleves, 1766. It appears in Rakefet Aharon today. It's been published many times. Rothkopf got the idea from the Rav. It's an interesting story, but you can ask Rav Heschel Shechter. Still recalls the story. But study divorce in Cleves. They took the Nodab Yehudis Tshuva, being martyr of the woman, and burned them in public in Frankfurt am Main. You know what that did to the prestige of the rabbinate? Don't be involved in machloket. They can be different opinions. We can live with different opinions. We have to respect each other. Chabad. I'm very proud of what I said the other day. I listened again, and again, you have to hear it in context. The article when it will appear, the interview with Zev Brenner, with Steven Stavitsky, the past president of the OU, the interview that's now on the YU Torah website, And what I said to the Kollel ad hoc the other morning, because the Pope knocked us out. And I want to tell you, I found a solution that no one is not the truth. Did the Rav come back in 1980 with a positive attitude or a negative attitude? Well, if you listen to Rav Heschel Schachter, if you listen to Rabbi Dr. Barry Holzer, who was a student in this kollel, my dear Barry, the Rav came back very positive. You listen to some members of the Rav's family, which I allude to in a footnote, the Rav came back negative. And Rakafid says, they're both correct. He came back positive, overwhelmed. He came back, as many of us were, apprehensive over the messianic feeling. And that way, no one is telling a lie. They're both telling the truth. When you view it, 1980 till today, we're talking about practically 35 years later, I think we can be positive and the messianicism has subsided. But this is an approach, not the sinat chinim, not the hatred, not the enmity. And acharon acharon chaviv. The state of Israel. So many people beat up on the state of Israel. I mean, the hatred, the enmity, the Satna viewpoint. I want to tell you, I don't know of any other Mizrahiite outside of Rakefet who defends the Satmar Rebbe in 1935, and I told this to Yitz more than once, and I repeat that article that appeared in the Link of Bergen County that quotes me, Satmar Rebbe Yamach Shmo, totally misunderstood what I was telling her. She was maledicting the Satmar Rebbe, and I said it's happened to me three times that in the middle of a lecture, and I quoted the Satmar, people yelled Yamach Shmo. Then they came over to me afterwards to apologize. I told them, I know your story. Your parents asked the Rebbe, should they go in Aliyah? The Rebbe said, no. You are a Shegetz, a Neusvach, a Trumpenik, a Bnei Kivenik. You went despite the Rebbe, and you and your family are the only branch alive today. And they say, wow, are you smart? I'm not smart, I just know Torah history. But I want to tell you something. I would not say Yimach Shmon, the Rebbe. Ein l'dayin alamash, ein avroat. Yiftach b'doro k'shmul b'doro. The Rebbe in 1935, if you asked him, what did he see? Read the Renoir literature today. Read that magnificent little volume. It's an easy read that came out. What is it? I quote it to you from Chagai Ben Atzi, Deya Acheret or Shitar Acheret, just came out. Take a look how many good Jews came in Aliyah in 35 and threw away Yiddishkeit, where Zion is, it's a new tomorrow, we don't need religion. So the Satmar Rebbe was worried. But to say Yimach Shmo, no one knew what Hitler would do. Who could conceive of it? He paskin what he paskin. You want to be positive? Say that Rav Kook was right, that there's no concept of not going to Palestine, of not going to Eretz Yisrael. Gein Sirik is Nishtadeya. That's what he paskin for Farbstein when he visited Israel in the early 30s and wanted to observe Yantiv Sheni. And he says, Rebbe, Gein Sirik, I'm going back to Poland. He was a very wealthy Mizrahi leader, had a big factory. And Rav Kook said, Gein Sirik is Nishtadeya. And after the Holocaust, he cried, Halavai, I should have listened to Rav Kook. But be positive. The state of Israel today, don't fight a battle that we fought 60 years ago, 70 years ago, 80 years ago. You could be totally right then. But it's a different story today. In 2015, the state of Israel, Rov Minyan Ubinyan of the Jewish people are here. More than 6 million halachic Jews, underline the word halachic. How many Jews do you have in America? If you have more than 3 million halachic Jews, I'll dance at Kazatska in Red Square. I've said it already many times. Believe me, I danced already at Kazatska in Red Square in 1981. I have a picture. Where do you have 6 million? You have 6 million plus Jews. This is the center of the Jewish people, the center of the Torah, the center of our existence. Don't fight a battle of 50, 60 years ago. Be positive. You want to be a Mizrachiz, the Mizrachiz. The Barakudis, Gizim Techei, Asat Mechasid, Viral, Alat Mata Kodesh. So, Halacha Lamaisa, when you see this picture, the Satmar graduate, his father kissing him, the Satmar graduate with his brother, the Satmar graduate with his father, and he describes, although I came from a different background than most of my classmates, I found that I was accepted with open arms at Yeshiva University and felt absolutely no pressure to change in order to fit in better with the YU student body. I am a very strong chassid, and that is something that you are at heart. It isn't superficial, and a chassid can fit in anywhere. At no point in time did I ever have to compromise even a single drop on my values or beliefs. And let me tell you, just take it a little bit further. A Satmar Chassid in YU, I saw plenty of Lubavitchers now. Halavai, next time I'm in YU, I should see hundreds and hundreds of Satmar. And while they're there, they may hear a little bit about Eretz Yisrael, about what's happening here, about Was Tutzich Da. Maybe they'll come, they'll visit. They'll visit the Jewish heart infused. They may very well stay. So, my dear friends, to conclude, you're going into the rabbinate. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you strength, health, ability. Never forget the three brachot of Birchat HaTorah. If they guide you, na'aleh v'natzliach. And now the freebies. First of all, Yitzchak, watch what I want you to do. Again, I have too many papers here, so I'm getting lost in the papers. Ah, here it is. Here's what we're trying to do, my dear friends. There's this famous picture of the Rav teaching, and I want to identify everyone. I've numbered them. That's a guy named Aaron Rothkopf. That's the hand of a guy named Rabaron Lichtenstein. You see? Hiding here with a little bit of his head shows. That's Reb Keshel Shechta. Do me a favor. Take this. These are the names I've identified so far. And see what you can add. Is this Sheldon Friedman?
Yep.
Okay, add the name here. You hear? And add your name where you are.
I'm right here.
You're right there. Add the name. Hiding in the back. Okay.
Indian magazine.
What's his name?
Indian magazine. They send in pictures and he has to identify.
We need people. If anyone wants this, this is Talmud is writing up my halachic shayurim. This is a rough draft of certain shayurim. Hmm?
Yeah.
Jids, this is from? For you.
Yeah, was Rabbi Lukin?
1 second. Gentlemen, give me one more second. Jids, this is for you.
Oh.
Does anyone want this? This is a reprint from Torah Mada, Rav Cook and Dr. Revel. On combining the yeshiva here and there. Finally, valuable freebies. The last issue of Jewish Action, the latest issue of Jewish Action with Anglos in Israel, big article. Zohar, dealing with modernity, the problems that we face. And this Rabbi is Beit Hillel, the problems that we face.
Right.
And one Rabbi. Second.
No
joke. Just let me finish.
No.
Modern lifenech adonai Elohai shesamte chokim yoshvei Beit Hamedrash velosamte chokim yoshvei Kranot. Shani mashkim vehem mashkimim. Ani mashkim v'divrei Torah vehem mashkimim l'devarim b'teilim. Ani amel vehem amalim. Ani amel u'makabel scha vehem amalim v'yein u'makabel scha. Ani ratz vehem ratzim. Ani ratz l'chai olam haba vehem ratzim l've'er shachat. Shenema v'ata elokim toridim l've'er shachat anshei damim u'mima lo yechzu yimehem v'ani evtach bach. Be'ezrat Hashem, we pick up in Sunday's class and Monday's class exactly where we left off. Chodesh Elul. Until then, may we meet in health and happiness. I'll give some shirim in America, but that's loaded guns to give a shir, give knowledge, and to give a message. And until we meet again, Das Vidanya.